Okay, wait. If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of? 69, dudes!
What the fuck's going on down there?
This is WTF at TFW, where we take your gray hairs away. My name is Vangelis, and with me today are several people who would like to talk about generally the same thing, if not a few other different sort of things. And first up with us is one of the first people whose gray hair problems we solved, Mr. Drew Iden.
Woo! Gray hair free since 2006! Yeah, baby!
Woo! It's a good thing we started doing this podcast in 08.
Oh, wait!
That's how big an impact it was.
Drew's Benjamin Button.
I got life rides to that bitch. Yeah.
And also with us today is Gog Dog, who I don't think has had any gray hair problems, but if he did, we didn't know because he hasn't got any.
I have one gray hair on my forearm, my right forearm. That's it.
Bam! It just fell off.
It didn't.
Oh, hell.
What about now?
Still there.
Okay, what this means is I might have just accidentally killed someone in the next house over. I've done this a couple times when I try using my magic powers. Anyway, also with us here today, a brother in Modern Warfare 2, Seth Buzzard.
Mount up, we're Oscar Mike.
Oscar Mike.
Oscar Mike.
Oscar Mike.
Mount up. Oscar Mike. Mount up.
Oscar Mike.
Mount up.
Check your ammo. Check your six. Mike.
We're heading for the LZ.
Check your sectors. We're Oscar Mike. Mike.
Which button is to fire?
The A button.
All of them.
And we're here to talk to you today about Transformers, although we have been engaging in various otherly non-Transformer things, like Modern Warfare 2 or Fallout 3, which have been two of my favorite time sinks for the last couple weeks, because I'm such a Fallout 3 noob and I have all these stories I can tell about it. But I won't do that here because they'll take me like 3 hours and someone may start complaining about the lack of Transformers content on this Transformers podcast. So, to start things off on a really chipper and actually very somber note, a bit of a funeral, I guess, for a little guy who I think in the case of maybe Gog and Seth, you know, might have had a place on their shelf next to one of their little USB kitties. It seems that device label Blaster, the small laptop-shaped USB hub, may well have been canceled. And I think that actually kind of sucks, because I thought he looked cool. As owners of device label Ravage, yes, first Gog, what do you think about this? Are you kind of sad? Were you thinking of getting Blaster?
I didn't pre-order him like I did with Ravage. Ravage was a much higher priority for me. But I was happy with the way Ravage came out, very much so, as I've expressed. I didn't have an initial desire to get Blaster, but the more people talked about him fitting in with music label Soundwave, the more I was interested in getting him. It was more of going to be a wait until other people get him and see what they think, you know, including our very own Seth. But, it is kind of sad. I still assume that this is going to come out eventually. I have no basis for that other than, you know, I don't see them developing something like that and it not being released. With the multiple $100 watch, I could see that more. But it is kind of interesting, though, seeing these label figures get to near release time and then seeing them whacked at the last minute.
It's kind of strange.
It is disappointing, I think. I think the figure looked neat. I was going to wait, but, you know, And anytime anything is canceled, like, and this is another attitude I don't get either. You see things when they get canceled, you see people posting the boards like, oh my god, I'm so glad that didn't come out. It's like, why? You didn't have to buy it. It's like they're taking,
very,
you know,
presence,
like a whole,
would have
like
violated
Freud a moment of them totally like rubbing it in people's faces that wanted it, which I don't really get that whole attitude of, you know, pleasure from other people's pain, but. I'm still hoping this comes out eventually, and if it is decent, then I'll be more than happy to pick it up. But we'll see. I think it'll come out, you know, sometime next year. But I haven't, like I said, we'll just have to wait and see.
What do you think, Seth? Do you think it might come out? You kind of sad to see it go, or were you not really thinking of it, even though you've got the little USB kitty on hand?
Yeah, well, I did pre-order it, and I was looking forward to it. I thought it looked pretty sweet. And, I mean, the news was just breaking today, as just before we recorded. I checked my Twitter feed earlier today, and there's a tweet from TFW 2005 about it being canceled. And I was like, what? Come on.
Yeah, why? That was kinda sad.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, like Gog said, I mean, if this thing's been developed, it's at the production stage. It seems crazy town that they would just crumple the whole thing up and throw it away. So, you know, hopefully next time around it's going to actually happen. Because yeah. It looked pretty rad.
And according to what the front page article says, is most of the online shops canceled their pre-orders, but the Japanese hobby magazine Hyper Hobby is still reporting that there's going to be a spring release date. But I think it's just, I think it's worrying people that instead of postponing pre-orders, a lot of shops have just outright canceled them. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
yeah, maybe they're, instead of just dragging it out, it's like, okay, you know what, we're going to kill this, and then the next time it's listed, then we'll put pre-orders back up.
I haven't been keeping tallies or anything, but it almost seems to me like more people pre-ordered this than they did the Ravage. And I think that was just the bottom line with the Ravage, is a lot of people weren't satisfied with the amount of storage it was on it. And for me, I didn't plan on using it as an everyday flash drive anyway, because I already have several.
I will never use it as a flash drive.
Yeah, me either. So that wasn't the reason why I got it, so I didn't care. But a lot of people saw more functionality in the blaster, and it seems like, at least to me, I could be completely wrong, but it almost seems like more people pre-ordered that. So I can't imagine that it's an issue of people not pre-ordering it, like them just canceling it because nobody wants it. It would seem to be more of a technical issue of maybe there was a problem with the production factory or whatever.
Well, to move things to a different perspective, Drew, as someone who doesn't have a Ravage,
right?
Do you take pleasure or sorrow in the pain of others in this case?
no, not really. What do you call it? From my perspective, I said, "Oh wait, that was a thing." No, I'm kidding. I looked at it and I said,
I thought that was a joke. That was actually going to come out, dude.
Anyway, what do you call it? I've been looking for a USB hub of sorts. I have a lot of things that plug in right now. For example, I have three USB plugs in right now as I do this podcast. So I was looking for one. I thought about maybe doing the R2-D2 one, and then I saw this coming around. I was thinking maybe. Well, unfortunately, it's not an option now. But like you guys were saying, if it does come back up, and if it's in stock at say like a TF source at a BotCon, it's definitely something that I will definitely consider in the future. Unfortunately, I get to just revel in the pain of everyone who's crying tears tonight because they're not getting a blaster. We haven't got enough blasters, I don't think, in the past few years. We got that repaint of Soundwave. That needed a new head. I like this.
That's why
design.
I felt bad about this.
What's that?
Yeah, this was like full on. Like, this is Blaster from step one. This is Blaster. So I was like, hey, Blaster, and then he gets canned. I was like, oh, Blaster.
Oh, Blaster. Yeah, it looked like Blaster. I hardly knew her. This looks like Action Master Blaster, which is a great name. Combined with a computer, combined with the USB ports out the wazoo. That's why I liked it, because I am a big Action Masters fan, as you know, just by looking at my signature and my Twitter.
Exactly.
Yeah, Manless, what did you think?
I kind of said, I'm hoping it comes out again. Like, I don't have any device label. They're probably going to be convention bias, but the Blaster did win me over more than the USB sticks, almost entirely because they went ahead and said, hey, he's got a big square chest, let's make it a cavity to put cassettes in. So I thought, hey, that's cool, because that way he can kind of join up with, because Classics Soundwave, quote-unquote, and in music label, doesn't really have cassettes, but you can give him, you know, the two headphones, and you can give him one of these Ravages as a little pal, and he has, like, his whole little assortment of cohorts, whereas Blaster here would be, you know, a new toy, he wouldn't have any little cohorts, but he could take all his old ones and stick them in his chest now and then. And I don't know, it would have been cool. So I do hold out hopes this guy shows up again. I mean, like, there's some who could say he looks doofy with the computer lid hanging off his back, but, like, you know, it's stylistic. Maybe
I
that's
like wings.
Yeah, he flies with Windows XP.
Ah.
Says clearly XP.
Is there a bigger picture of it rolling around somewhere? Because I was disappointed by the size of the picture.
Yeah, there have been. I don't know where they are offhand. But.
Yeah. Like, there's a picture showing how a cassette fits in his chest.
I'll find one.
That's kind of like your size mark for this guy, is that his chest is the size of a G1 cassette.
Yeah, that's how you fit it.
In height and width.
I like the head.
But
that makes it larger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. While we're going to search for that picture, and speaking of pictures, I guess we can just move into our new pick picks.
Woo!
So we can kind of roll things over here. I'm curious, Seth, what is your new pick pick?
Well, I'm not going to pick something new. I'm going to pick something from last week, something from a topic from last week.
Ooh.
I want to pick that thumb drive with the Revenge of the Fallen on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because that I had a thought about how movies in general could work on a thumb drive and be sold that way, is what you do. You get, like, kids' movies. You get, like family-friendly movies. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get episodes of cartoon shows. You put those on thumb drives. You sell them for, like, $5 each. Party favors. That's how you make putting movies on thumb drive work. Selling first run, like new films at lower res, where you have to have it attached to a computer to watch it, that's never going to catch on. With all the USB hub blasters in the world, you can't plug in enough movies to make that worthwhile. So you make it cheap, you make it giveaway, you target it at kids. That's how you make it work.
Or at least make
movie
the USB
industry
stick,
can like... pay me, please, for the
yes,
awesome idea.
Yes, Seth Bullitt, here's all your money.
Send me money.
Sign the movie industry.
Thank you.
Welcome to the industry.
Thank you, Hollywood.
Yeah, or you know, they could at least make the USB stick look cool. That's still my thing. Like, it's very petty, but that was the only thing that really stuck with me after all that, was like, at the end of the day, it's a white stick with a sticker on it. It's like,
yeah, well, the one that they're getting in the UK with that Xbox bundle is bumblebee shaped.
Yeah.
So that's cooler.
This is a perfect opportunity just to bring Device Label Ravage over. You could justify the cost by sticking the movie on it, you know? Like, that would be perfect. Why not do that?
Because Kingston doesn't play that. Kingston plays white professional sticks, even in entertainment. It's the Apple lifestyle, you know? Sleek, white.
We're all business.
Business.
That'd be cool. All business. If they almost have, like, your choice of RPM, business. The little RPM guys, the hood flipped up, and there was the thing. It plugged right in.
That'd be cool, too. Like, if I had a little car, and you could transform the front into a USB connect. You know, make the stick transform a little.
Like, Ravage was even in the movie, you know? It's a different Ravage, but it's still Ravage. It could have been like, here's the old Ravage, and you can watch the new Ravage.
Kingston doesn't have time for weeaboo crap, apparently.
Well, with that said, well, if it was a deal with Kingston, then it's a no-go anyway, because the device labels were made by... The electronics were made by Toshiba, so...
Oh, okay.
But they could have struck a deal with Toshiba instead of Kingston. I don't know what the deal is with that, but...
Kingston
whatever.
Takes this
I mean,
stuff seriously.
It didn't happen, it won't happen, it's over, but it was still a darn good idea.
No, I...
Yeah, they could also... no, I forgot. Oh, yeah, and then when they put it on the Ravage, they can make it all chrome and red and ugly like that mail-away.
Man, I wonder if Hasbro can even do mail-aways. I took that from Drew's Twitter.
God, that Ravage is ugly. That mail away Ravage. I'm sorry, that's my opinion on that mess.
He's shiny. Speaking of Seth and Drew, hey Drew, what's your new pick?
You know what? My pick for this week harkens all the way back to the pre-days. The pre-days of the internet. No, I'm kidding. Of WTF at TFW. I've sent it to the other guys right now. This is a complete surprise. No one has seen this before. For a few years. So here's my pick of the week. And if you scroll down, you read the whole little guy, you know, give yourself a second, read the whole little comic. Notice that the timestamps is 6/10/2007. You know, that's like 2.5 years ago going on. I want to know, Seth Buzzard, movie Starscream, is he just hanging out there then for like 2.5 years? When's Them Funny Robots coming back? Bring it back!
Oh, he put you on the
bring
spot.
Bring it back.
Yeah,
bring
and I'll
back.
Do
bring
my standard response. We appreciate that you enjoy the script. I'm glad it has brought joy and awesome to your life. I'm not going to say there will never be another installment, but it's not going to happen soon.
Please direct all questions
Might
to
happen.
Shane Anderson.
Could happen. Could happen in the future. Not saying it won't.
I think this comic's kind of fun to read now, like a couple years later when we have a leader-sized version of this dude coming out. I don't know.
And for again, for nostalgia reasons, since that seems to be the focus of this pick, like I remember when I was lurking at TFW before I even joined, like, and Seth had collected all of the formerly then Buzzbeak had collected all of the TFR episodes into like 1 through 25 posts, and then a 25 through 50 posts. And I remember I like linked every single one of them and like emailed them to a couple of my friends, and I was like, "Dude, you got to read this; it's funny." And little did I know that like 4 years later,
you find out you knew the dickhead who ruined it,
co-hosting a podcast with the very own, the one, the only Buzzbeak. Little did I know that in May of 2009 that I would share a hotel room with him in Pasadena, California.
Wow.
Oh, if I knew that you were so starstruck about it, I would have taken a more advantage of the situation.
Well, you did bring you brought that was the thing too. You brought incomplete. I don't want to know what that means. You brought incomplete Skywarp to BotCon, which was awesome. So, it, like full circle, right there.
Yeah, he's still my little bro. But like looking back on this one, it seems derivative. It seems played out to me.
Well, that's the thing is that
like
back
the whole
then,
the old figure talking trash on the new version. It's just
But back then too, like everything you could say about movie Starscream, like it was fresh then. And so it's always weird when I look back on anything about the first movie and I'm like, man, this must be new. And I'm like, oh no, wait, that was 2 years ago. Cause like, there's still people going like, man, did you maybe think for a second that movie Starscream might look like a gorilla? Oh, like they come up with it, you know, like yesterday and they're like, man, this must
That's like, do you know what else would be funny is if, we depicted Optimus Prime as being somewhat of a dick. That would be hilarious, because that's never happened ever.
That's what I like is when I look back and like you know something that you may think like now you know and you're like man that is played that has happened and it's done. When you look back at when it was fresh to you and you're like man I used to think it was fresh. And you like try to put your mind back in that mindset.
Fresh to Besh.
Fresh to Besh is always fresh. Mm-hmm. He's my doctor.
He's super fresh. He's stored in Tupperware fresh.
But my question is Movie Starscream in the Them Funny Robots universe still just hanging out here then? Is
he waiting for a banana?
Yeah. Even if it's like a one panel, like, got the banana, I'm good. I got the banana.
I'm gonna say that this is official. He stood around for about an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And then just went, oof, and wandered off.
Yeah.
Aww. Mm. Well, it's now we can add that to the wiki.
That's
so we're all good.
Updated.
Nice. Gog, I'm curious now. What is your new pick?
Well, let me hit
I've been in the dark.
Let me hit paste.
I've been in the dark on all three of these.
I received this. I had another pick, but I received this about 5 minutes before we started recording, so I feel absolutely compelled to pick this. Hold on. Yeah, let me explain.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
A couple of weeks before BotCon, a member by the name of TFW, member by the name of Silvershot, sent me a PM and said, "Hey, man, I was looking at your Flickr gallery and I saw the Mighty Mug Starscream pick, the one with the sky." And he said, "My wife saw me looking at it and said, 'Whoa, that's cool. I want to hang that up in our son's room.'" And he asked me if he's like, "Hey, you mind if I get a link for like a large size picture of that, because I'd like to print it out and hang it in my son's room if that's okay." And I said, "Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And actually, I'm kind of honored that, you know, that you felt compelled to do that." And at BotCon, I actually met him. He was there, and he was a great guy. He was fun. We hung out and talked for a little bit over the course of the weekend. And then I had kind of forgot about it. And then he had sent me a PM asking me a question like a week ago or so. And then I was like, "Oh, but hey, by the way," I said, "at BotCon, you said you were going to, or I asked you, I said, yeah, if you ever hang that picture up, man, show me a picture, because I, you know, I'd like to see that, you know, just for my own reasons." And then he was like, "Sure," and he forgot. And then when he PM'd me last week, I was like, "Oh, hey, I forgot all about it. I haven't talked to you about it since BotCon, but you never showed me a picture of that." So he just sent this to me just about half an hour ago, before we started recording. So that's really cool. I mean, it's nothing, you know, nothing more than a, I don't know what the word is, but it's kind of neat when people.
That's cool, because like if his son's really young, right, it's going to be one of his ingrained memories, like right by the Sesame Street baby stickers, there was that weird picture of Starscream, and it was so serene.
I know, like that's kind of weird, because I remember as a kid and having stuff hanging in my room and all that, and having strange memories of things looking at me, and knowing that Mighty Mug Starscream's back and inverted Decepticon logos are going to be burned into this kid's mind for the rest of his life is kind of, I'm honored by that. So
yeah. That's cool. I'm seriously beaten in new pick picks this week because I have nothing cool and unique and thought provoking to share.
Yours like, actually is device labeled Blaster. He's like, "Wow, damn."
I gave it its own topic. No, I mean, like, there's a bunch of stuff that popped up. I mean, PA did some reviews, but those have been really super discussed, and like, I'm really sure we're gonna share our thoughts on those toys fairly soon from actually having them in a month or three. So, like, the only thing I really want to bring up is a pair of garage kit updates, since that's kind of my thing. The first one is iGear, out of nowhere, showed, like, finished and packaged product shots of their City Commander upgrade set, which made myself and several others go like, "Oh, so you guys did finish that." And a lot of people are being super hard on them, because, you know, the head's not totally awesome. It makes his neck really long, and the guns are kind of a moot point since Fans Project is putting out ones with more missiles. And the flag, some people like. I don't really dig it. I think it's a neat-looking flag. I just don't understand why Ultra Magnus would have a green chromed flag. but I do have to give them major props for the hammer, because the hammer was the one thing about this set that I thought was kind of neat. And then they've actually engineered the hammer to kind of intricately split into two smaller hammers, if you so choose, or can be held as, like, one big one. And, you know, that, I think, is cool. And if it was just that hammer for, like, $10, I'd actually be really tempted to just get that hammer for $10. It's a cool hammer. But I don't want to pay whatever else for, like, you know, the silly head, the pointless guns, the silly flag, and the random sword. I mean, like, I'm sorry. I mean, it's a cool-looking sword, but again, it's just, like, it's Ultra Magnus with a green sword. And I don't know why Ultra Magnus has a green sword, so not really that interested. But, you know, props to iGear for the hammer. That's, like, where I'd love to see them go, is stuff like the hammer. Something creative, thematic, doesn't feel like it's a random accessory. So, you know, props there. But then, you know, immediately pushed aside because we got to see packaged shots of the Gear of War 2 set, the light-up Prime rifles. And those things are wicked cool. The box is, like, an alternative box that's been appropriated for the guns. It's got, like, try-me holes on the top. And then they just showed this function where you can take one of the LED lights and you can actually clip it to the back of Classics Prime's head so that his eyes can, like, flare up, and it's really cool. And
I have not even looked at this before.
Yeah,
this is cool.
And you get two light up guns with this thing, and then various shell pieces you can put over top of them. And I think that for its value, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, like, you have to like light up stuff. And like I've said before, blue LEDs really excite me. So I really like the way this has been presented. I think this is TFC living up to their standards of quality. And it's nice that we're now at the point where these guys are no longer new. These guys are now kind of established, and you can say this is the TFC level of quality. So I'm super duper excited for these. I'm way into this. So seeing pictures of this totally made me happy. And like, you know, iGear, good try, but you made a cool hammer in a set of kind of useless stuff, and then these guys kind of put out, you know, a pile of awesome LED guns. So keep trying. You know, maybe if you put some LEDs in the hammer, I don't know. But I'm totally ready for this stuff. Did any of you guys pre-order any of these things, or are you just kind of watching from the side?
How many City Commander upgrade sets do we need? This is like the fifth one.
I mean the guns. I mean, I'm not thinking anyone pre-ordered the iGear City Commander.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was my comment on that. It's have we not moved on from the fourth party City Commander head?
It's like it's their one dance move, and they're like, we gotta do something a little different. Let's change it up a little bit. They're really banking
shrink
on that
the
Power Commander.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, that is, I mean, like the guns. Is it any of you guys checking out these guns?
What, for some reason, I missed the guns, but they, is there any word on the price?
I think it was like $30, and you get, like enough parts to make one of each gun. Or like, well, you get two guns, and one of them you can add clips to make it movie style. And then if you wanted to have two movie guns to have Prime dual wield, you'd have to buy another set. So that's where they throw in the buy another set thing. Like with the first Gear of War, the modular missile launchers, they kind of had the incentive. If you buy two sets, you can build extra missiles.
It looks neat. It really does. I like the look of it. $30 for a gun. Like, I think it's
$30. I mean, like, I might be
like,
wrong.
Yeah, if so. Like, if this was closer to 20, it would be more of an impulse buy, but any more than that, and it's just one of those things where it looks cool, I'd love to have it, but, like, I don't know.
It's riding that line, kind of.
It is riding the line, but it looks neat. I agree with you. I like blue LEDs. They just seem to pierce your eyes, you know, more so than other colors.
Yeah, and they're nice.
Like that one in the knockoff Shockwave.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anytime I ever think of a blue LED, that's all I can think about now is knockoff Shockwave from BotCon.
That one pierces your eyes and out the back of your head.
yeah, and takes some brain matter with it. But no, it looks cool. It does. But I don't know. I'll have to wait and see how much it costs.
Yeah,
I'm not
just
ruling it out.
I just checked TF Source. It's $30 on there, so I think it is $30 for the guns.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Like, if I come across,
it's $15 per gun with movie style add-ons in for free. If you're going to divide it up in your head, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if I'm bored one day and I literally have bought everything that I want and I can't think of anything to spend money on and it's burning a hole in my pocket, then I'll consider it, but we'll see.
But, you know, I'm getting the word out on more Garage Kit stuff. It's what I like. And a lot of these other huge new news items that came out were toys, which I'm sure one of us will have within the space of the next 15 episodes. So I guess we can just move along into a kind of odd little topic that came up just recently. And it's not a huge one, but it's one of those ones where a new trademark application happened, and this time it's not for some random name that we know or some odd name like Bucket Dumper, but it's for a brand name. It's for Power Core Combiners. And, you know, anytime the word combiner comes up, even now, it'll always get people going like, ooh, combiners. So, just like a quick run through with you guys. What do you think a Power Core Combiner is? Myself, I'm thinking it could be some kind of Action Master thing. It could be a case of combining. I'm not too sure. Drew, theories?
You know, I think it is just a fancy name for a combiner. I know it sounds plain and it's not exciting, but I definitely think we're looking at Just a different way to say power links, or a different way to say, hey, look, these Transformers combine. And I think Power Core is an interesting interesting title. I like it. I think it's good. I'm interested to see, but I think it's basically the same thing as saying, oh, these guys, they just get together and make a robot.
A Power Core combine. Seth, what do you think about Power Core combining? Do you think it's just plug them together, or do you think maybe there's something wicked inside?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this was like a subline targeted younger, like the Activators or something, and like a couple characters will stick together kind of that way that we've seen in the past. But the name Power Core kind of would make me expect that there might be a light up feature or something, like when you plug the figures together, like it will open a hatch in the chest, like with the old Headmasters and whatnot, when you stuck the head on, and then that like power meter would open up on the chest and show like levels of for the character.
Like, this is my intelligence.
Yeah, but like more like with ultra blue LEDs or something.
Yeah,
blinding the kids. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they come up with a name like that that isn't a reference to a gimmick that will be featured in a toy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're looking at some sort of new gimmick on the way.
Yeah, that would get me jazzed if it was something to amp up a combining gimmick. Gog, what do you think a Power Core combiner may be or may not be?
I don't have any theories that are any better than what's already been said, but we might be getting the first hints of the new Transformers series that's supposed to come out, what, in 2010?
Yeah.
Or is it later? Yeah, so,
that's 2010.
Yeah, so we know it's in the works. We know that the planning phases, if not still going on, have at least been completed, and they're starting to work and put that together. It's very possible that the Power Core combiner or something is an aspect from the show that we haven't seen or heard anything of yet, and they're starting to copyright some of the stuff that they're in the brainstorming phases. They're starting to put together what they want to do with it, and they're making terms, and they're saying, okay, well, let's go with that. Let's go with Power Core and combiner, and let's trademark it so we can put it in the show, and we might be starting to get our first leaks of the new Transformer series.
Yeah, or. I just had an idea for this going off of something that Seth and Drew were talking about, but I want to run this by you guys. Imagine, right, if you know how they've been doing this whole design schema lately of the dynamic head reveal, which I've personally been really digging, where they're like, we find that kids tend to think the robot isn't alive until the head comes out, so we made it so when the head comes out, cool stuff happens. So, like, what if this is like when they combine? Like, imagine even if it's a multi-part combiner, they go all out on whatever the central core part of the combiner is and give them like super intricate electronics that totally nerf the toy, whatever. But when you plug everything into them, like, it can tell what is plugged into it and how many parts are. So, like, it'll make these different noises. Then when it's all done, like, that'll trigger some spring-loaded thing. So, like, the head comes up and he like announces his name or something. Like, that would make me go like, ee! I don't know.
That's giving me flashbacks again to Aquarion. So
there wouldn't be like an orgasm going on during this.
That sounds like the sort of thing that you might see in a toy line targeted for the Japanese, but it sounds more convoluted and technical than I think Hasbro would be doing.
Trampling on my dreams, man. Well, not really dream. Oh. I mean, I just made it up a minute ago, but trampling on my made up a minute ago thoughts, man. Trampling. Well, I guess we can move on to our... Yeah, that's right.
Sorry.
I don't know if I accept your apology.
I guess we're going to have to Oscar Mike to a new topic.
On the move.
Oscar Mike.
I think it's time we Oscar Mike over to an intermission. So after this, we're going to then Oscar Mike into what we got this week. And I think this week we actually got stuff this week. So that will make this a lot more interesting. Anyway, we'll talk to you after this.
A new motion picture will transform the summer of 1986 into an incredible adventure. Transformers, the movie. An epic story of good versus evil. This spectacular animated adventure stars Orson Welles as Unicron, Leonard Nimoy as Galvatron, Robert Stack as Ultra Magnus, Judd Nelson as Hot Rod, and Eric Idle as the Junkion Warrior Wreck-Gar. The most exciting adventure in the universe is on planet Earth. Transformers, the movie. Coming this summer to a theater near you.
We're back, and you know, not every surprise in life can be an airport massacre. A great man said that once a long time ago. But we're in the here and we're in the now of this week. So let's talk about what we got this week. Seth, I was rolling a mental die there to pick someone. See, Seth was four and...
How many sides?
It was six-sided die. Seth was four and three. Gog was six and what? One, and Drew was two and five.
Did you calculate my dexterity bonus?
I did. I took into account your Vorpal swords.
Did you take into account that he was a hunchy?
But he rolled a natural 20, so he's all good. On a D6, even.
On a D6.
That's right.
That's Z. Skills. I'm going to Vegas.
That was going out to all you guys out there, Gygax fans. Seth, though, what did you get anything this week?
I got one on-topic item. My USB Ravage showed up.
Yay!
Too late for last time, but... Not too late for life. I think GOG pretty much covered all the important details on it, so really just you could just re-listen to what he said on the last good episode.
Oh, that took me a second.
Keep
going.
Huh?
Never mind, keep going.
I'll just add that he's If you can afford it, go ahead and grab him. He's a great version of Ravage in robot mode and USB thumb drive mode. He's kind of a screwed up rectangle. Or if you're the sort that is going to wait and see if there's a domestic release, then definitely get it if there's a domestic release. I really think he's cool, and it just adds to being bummed out that Blaster is delayed, if not dead. He's a good time. And that is the only Transformers stuff I got.
Ah, cool.
Got Modern Warfare.
Oh, you got Modern Warfare? I got that too.
Yeah. Gotta save America.
I actually got that thanks to my friend Jacob. It turns out that when he went to line up to get his pre-order for Modern Warfare, he bought two more copies for myself and another friend of his. Because he's crazy like that.
So he bought you Modern Warfare 2 and Fallout 3?
Yeah, he did.
Dang, Jacob.
Modern Warfare, okay, Fallout 3, right, he leaves on my desk, and I was like, Jacob! And I was like, I thank you, but, like, seriously. And so, Modern Warfare 2, he didn't bring here. No, I checked the mail, and there's, like, a pink-wrapped thing in the mail, wrapped in bright pink paper. I pull it out, it's from a, like, Dr. Richard Bilkinson or something from Alabama, Ohio, in America.
In America.
And it's addressed to me with a completely wrong postal code. And then I flip it around, and the card on the back is just this piece of white card with the It's Jimmy face on it. So I'm like, oh, no. So I open it up, and there's a note inside. A note, by the way, full of, like, disgusting lies. I should try to pull that note out. Where did I put it? Oh, here we go. So there's a note inside, and seriously, this is vulgar, and I wasn't sure if Jacob would have stooped to this level, but if I may read the note. A small shape appears on the horizon. I steady my breathing and raise my rifle. I fix him smoothly in my crosshairs, a gentle squeeze of the trigger. He drops like a sack of onions. Just another day for a man. Just another day for me. Just another defeat for Chris Ho. So, on the back, he then writes, what do you think otherwise than ball up and prove it, punk? Now, I just want to say for the record, myself and Jacob play a lot of Call of Duty 4. We play a lot of it split screen. He, of course, looks at my screen all the time. I never look at his screen. And he tells all these stories, you know, of how easily it takes me. Let me just say, all right, that's slander, all right? I personally taught him how to be a soldier. And the simple fact that maybe, yes, he did kill me 5 times more than I killed him when we played some Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer. You know what? That's because he had the game for like a whole hour before me. He had time to master it. I was still getting used to all those new controls, like the graphics. So it was hard to stomach that kind of attack on my person. But you know, I had to weather that storm.
Well, now we know what Vangelis got this week. A tip for people who buy video games. If there's a big release game, like where even in the middle of the afternoon, there's a line 10, 12 people deep at the GameStop, people picking up their copies, and you have a grocery bag full of games you're trading in, come back the next day. Don't hold up the whole damn line.
I remember that from your Twitter.
Because
with your
you're
damn
a D-bag.
Shopping bag. Dude, and then at least use that money to get the game that everybody else is there to get. Don't get a couple used PS2 games. otherwise, you might get stuck in the neck with a pen.
Might or did.
And then, if you're directly ahead of me in line, and it's this big, huge line that we've all been standing in for 20 minutes. Make sure the game that you're there to get actually has come out that day. Because the people directly ahead of me in line, they were looking for a game that came out the next day. And the lady behind the counter then had to convince them to pre-order it, even though it's coming out the next day. And so that whole discussion took up more time. And keep the line moving.
Don't
people.
Get in Seth's way, basically.
Come back tomorrow,
or he will rip your poop up on a podcast, and yeah. You don't want that. Yeah. Did you get anything else aside from Modern Warfare?
No.
All right.
No.
Did you get the goggles version with the big night vision goggles?
No, I just got the I got the $60 playing old game version. I know.
Well,
I kind of thought about getting hardened. I mean, because you know, I want night vision goggles. I'm not going to make any bones about it. I want night vision goggles. But I knew I was going to be buying a lot of games in the next few months, and I couldn't bring myself to spend that much money on crappy toy night vision goggles.
Yeah.
But at least with the hardened edition, I would have also gotten that download code for the classic Modern Warfare, but you know, whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
I've actually used night vision goggles, like military
real
spec
ones.
High end, and they are quite cool. If you want to drop a couple grand on military spec versions, and they're worth it if you have that kind of money.
Yeah, I would never.
They are quite interesting, especially if you have something like an IR flashlight that just emits infrared light. You can see it in night vision, but no one else can see it. You can have some fun.
I'd like to see a video review on that kind of thing myself. Just going to throw it out there. Yeah.
All right. I'm sure there is one already, and you just got to search YouTube.
I want to see one by someone I know. Drew, are you going to review some night vision goggles, or are you going to share with us what you may or may not have got this week?
If they're edible, I'll review them. What do you call it? I almost, guys, this weekend I went up to a party at a former friend of mine. We got hung up. I was at a party till 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't really do much. And it wasn't like, oh, it's time to sleep. You know, everybody's tired. Let's go to bed. It was like, we're still going. It's like 5:30. We're ready to go yet? No. All right, let's keep rocking. It was good. It was fun. With that said, I did come close to actually purchasing an action figure this week. I put in a bid and was outbid by about $4 on eBay for a 1991 mint in box. Mint on sealed card, M-O-R-A, Mosk, M-O-S-C, Darkwing Duck, the original Darkwing Duck.
Oh, I so wanted one of those when I was a kid. I could never find them.
I love that toy line. One of my favorite toys as a kid was the Megavolt.
That's a great figure. That's the one that
I loved
sparks.
It. Loved it.
That was a cool toy line. And then when I saw the pictures of the Series 2 toy line. But anyway, that's beyond the point. So I lost out on that. And it was pristine condition, so I'm pretty angry. However, that being said, can I just say that I took a look at the TF Source little thing that TFW put up because they're a sponsor, their holiday thing, and I was like, wow, that comic Grimlock, boy, I'll tell you what, that looks really nice. That looks really nice. Not $230 nice.
He's 230? I got to
admit, $230 for that bad boy.
Oh my God. Like,
that's way more than I spent on Masterpiece Grimlock.
Yeah, Masterpiece Grimlock's $140 at this point. And I'm like, I can wait till he comes out because I think I want to get it. But I was like, oh, that the blue and the red and the yellow, really, that's how I remember Grimlock mostly because I was a big fan of the Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that looks cool. How much? Oh, hey.
I didn't know he was that expensive.
Super expensive. Like, I was kind of angry. I punched my computer. It's broken now. Gotta get a new computer. But I said, so if anyone wants to buy it for me, one of my fans. otherwise, I'm not. It's not. It's not happening in the Iden household.
Well, you know, guys, I did make a promise a long time ago. Maybe on You Didn't Remember episode 0.5, where I said I actually would like to. You know, if they ever put it out, they do a comic book color Masterpiece Grimlock, I'd love to have 20 of those. So if you guys want to help me out, you know, with that dream, you know, after the Spoons one, you know, maybe throw one Drew's way. I don't know. I'd be cool with that.
Throw me something my way. But, I have been looking at TF Source pretty heavily. I've been in a Transformer buying kind of mood. So who knows? Maybe by episode 71. Something will have arrived in the package, or arrived in the mail. I'm not going to lie, Masterpiece Megatron has always been on my want list. Christmas is coming up.
He's cool. I mean, he's kind of fiddly, but he's cool fiddly. Like, he's hard, but you're like, man, I can see where the hardness came from.
Wow.
Fiddly and hard.
Vulgar.
I didn't think about that. Hey, guys. That's cool. Gog, I think I know something you got this last week, but... did you get anything else this week, or just the thing?
What do you think I got?
I'm looking at your Flickr picture still.
Oh, okay. All right. I forgot. I posted that just today. But okay. Off topic first. I got my third Figma figure, Igus from PlayStation 2 Japanese RPG Persona 3. If you've never played the Persona games, if you're used to more traditional Japanese RPGs, I'd say give the Persona games a shot. They're very different, but still have the traditional elements in there, along with all sorts of other crazy stuff that you wouldn't think would be in a Japanese RPG. And if somebody told you it was, you might not think it would work, but it works quite well, and they are absolutely terrific games. But I guess it's like a female demon fighting robot with machine gun fingers, and she is a quite cool character in the game, and she is a quite cool figure as well. So I'm very, very happy with that. It came just a couple days ago. Okay, and I'm going to save the Transformers for last just because I have the most to say about them. I found two G.I. Joes today, which are really the only two current things that I even care about. I have not found a Rex the Dr. Lewis anywhere. I've seen other figures from the same wave, didn't find it. Today, on one of my breaks at lunch, got out of my work van, went into a Walgreens to take a dump, and what do you know? There is a Rex the Dr. Lewis on the peg at Walgreens, but yet nowhere else in my area has carried them. So I actually got one. And next to him too was a Nano Viper. It was like a regular Elite Viper with weird green paint kind of just blotched on, and then he's covered in like green tendrils.
Yes.
But the tendrils have a base. It looks like he's caught in seaweed. I don't understand what was going on with that figure.
That's the hentai Viper.
Yeah, exactly. It's Tentacle Rape Viper. So I have no idea what is going on with that figure, but it's interesting. And I got a City Strike Snake Eyes, aka Resolute Snake Eyes, in the mail today. It was funny because I found one on eBay. It was reasonable. If I was to order it online after shipping, it would have only cost me a couple more bucks. So it wasn't a bad deal. And then, like, the next day, Optimus Scourge posts he's for sale on TRU.com. So I spent a couple more bucks than what I would have had to. But,
looks cool, though.
He is an awesome figure. Probably so far, in my opinion, the best of the movie line. Because he's not really a movie figure. He's a Resolute figure. Ooh. But, he's cool. No, I mean, well, yeah, okay, I said it. So...
he's on my look for list for sure. Hunting that dude.
He is a very, very cool figure. Transformers. I got Masterpiece Soundwave. Masterpiece Skywarp. it's funny because in Florida, like, no one had. Everyone was looking. Everyone was reporting every day in the Florida sightings thread. You know, no Skywarp here. No Skywarp here. Then all of a sudden, on one day, about 15 people from all across different portions of the state all reported on the same day that they were out en masse, finding 10, 15, 20 at a time. So I was like, it wouldn't hurt. There's a Walmart about 5 miles from me, and boom, there was about 10 on the shelf. So I grabbed one. So I got me a Masterpiece Skywarp. The yellow eyes, I didn't care about the lack of a new face. I understood, and after what Vangelis has said when we talked about this before, when we first got the reveal that he had Starscream's face instead of the Japanese Skywarp's face, I think I agree with Vangelis that the reason why they reused the mold is because they USified it, you know, they North Americanified it with the, without the sharp points on it. So instead of, you know, making a new mold... for that, or using the old mold for the new face or whatever, they just reused what they had. And for the less expensive cost, it didn't bother me. What did kind of bother me was when we found out that the eyes were going to be yellow. I wasn't into it, but getting it doesn't bother me that much. I would have liked red eyes just because why release Masterpiece Starscream with red eyes and Skywarp with yellow? You know, the figures are meant to go together. Why change your game plan halfway through? We can sit here and come up with our own little funny theories as for why, and in the end it might even make us like them even more, but the reality is it's just odd that it's a little inconsistent. But that said, it doesn't bother me. It's the cheapest way to get the mold, and that incarnation of Skywarp in that mold. So he's cool, and I checked him out. You know, he's great. I also found just today, or no, check that, yesterday, a Human Alliance Skids.
Ooh.
It's the first one I've seen. Yeah, it's the first one I've seen. And I was kind of, you know, I haven't been feeling the movie line lately. As I've said, the only things that I've really been looking forward to is like the Bludgeon and that whole line movie style lockdown. So I have really, there's not been anything really for me to hunt for, but I saw Skids. I'm like, why not? And he is a good figure. I like him. He's nice. He really is. He's better than the Deluxe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, the green paint that they used on the head and the parts that were actually painted green, is it's a nice like metallic paint. He looks good. He's one of the better painted and better looking figures in that aspect that Hasbro has done in a while, I think. So I dig him. I don't like the character. I could have cared less for him in the movie, but I think in the end I like the design. I'm a big fan of small hatchbacks, like Japanese little hatchbacks and yeah, little streetcars and stuff. And so I dig the style. I dig the transformation. I dig the robot mode. I don't necessarily dig the head. I don't think I'm not lazy enough to try to do a custom or something, put a different head on there and do something different. But just looking at it from the toy, toy-wise, he's a good figure, and I don't regret getting him in the least. It's just a shame that the Human Alliance figures are inconsistent. You know, we get, like, a great Bumblebee, and then, you know, a mediocre to crap Sideswipe. Then we get a good Skids, and then now we're getting, like, a mediocre to crap Barricade, and then we're going to get a good Mudflap. So, you know, what's after that? You know, so
hopefully a mediocre to crap Canon Bumblebee, so we can, you know, give another character a chance.
Yeah, so that's what I got.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I got my eyes out for Skids, but I still barely, I haven't even seen Sideswipe here yet, but, you know, with it being the Canadas as well, I don't know why I want to find them here, because it's still going to suck to buy them anyway, because they're going to be like $50, but...
You're rooting for the home team.
I'm trying to, yeah. That's what like, it is. I kind of have this little thing. It's just like, I can always, and I know that I can always ask people in the States, like, hey, can you help me find this? But, like, I really like finding something local, because it makes me feel like, you know, hey, it's cool. I didn't have to use the internet to find this thing. But I'm still keeping my eyes out. That said, I couldn't find any new Transformers this week. I did get something cool, though. Over the weekend, I went to a wedding. And the wedding ceremony was cool. And the wedding reception, you know, it was okay for the first hour. After 5 hours, I was really, really wanting to get out of there. But I was able to survive.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and you know, the couple was happy. Everyone there seemed happy, because a lot of them were fencers that all knew each other better than I knew them. So, you know, it's cool. I think it's just that, like, I'm super selfish, so after a while, I was like, you know what, I'm happy for you guys, but this isn't about me enough, so screw you all. No, I wish I'd vocalized that to make it more memorable for them, but sadly, I was polite.
I just would have snuck out.
Well, the thing was, this was out in Booneyville, and I'd carpooled to get out there, so, like, I needed to get a ride back. And I talked to some folks afterwards, and everyone was kind of like, oh, man, I wish someone had said, can we go back, you know, after 4 hours, and I was like, okay, next wedding we all go to, I'll say something. But in between the ceremony and the reception, I decided to go and switch my phone providers, because my Fido provider, you know, it's not like they're bad, but, like, I was paying a kind of hefty amount of money to have a local phone, and that was all it did. So I decided to pay, like, a little bit more money to get, like, a Fab 5 with Bell, who just set up shop in town, I think last year or so. And so I can, like, call my brother for free again. And I can use Starbucks internet for free, because I kind of got an iPhone with the deal. So I joined the iPhone family.
What?
And thanks to joining the iPhone family.
Welcome to the fold.
Well, you know, thanks to that iPhone, I was able to survive those last 2 hours of the wedding reception, because I became that dick who sits in the reception messing with his phone. And
wow.
I didn't feel too bad
about it. I'm impressed. I'm impressed that you took the dive in Canada.
Well, like, the only reason I did was because I thought about it, and I was like, okay, for one thing, Bell, you know, I like, because Rogers, the reason why I'm so mad at Rogers is because their base plan is a 500 megabyte data plan, and for some reason that insults me, I don't know why. And with Bell, their minimum data plan was 2 gigabytes, so I was like, you know, it's still limited, but at least it's something. So they kind of won me over with that, and then I realized, like, the iPhone will default to Wi-Fi, and there's a lot of Wi-Fi in my town, like, all over the place, and a lot of it is unsecure, especially downtown. So, like, technically, I can still use all its functions without hitting my data plan, as long as I just keep using all these various pirated Wi-Fi connections. Well, like, you know, quote-unquote pirated, using the open ones, basically.
Yeah. It just stinks, man. Like, you guys, like, our lowest plan here has unlimited data.
No, I agree. I mean, like, it's still dumb, but...
It stinks.
The reason why Rogers was able to get away with it for so long was because they were the only guys... Well, Fido had it, but Fido's owned by Rogers. So, like, the iPhones were distributed by a company, so they were able to tell their salespeople, "Oh yeah, tell people 500 megabytes is a lot of data." Say it with a straight face too. So, you know, now that there's competition, I've really wanted to support the competition as well, because I was like, maybe this can, I mean, this is really kind of bleeding heart now, but it's like, maybe this can, you know, help foster the glorious future of Canada someday having an unlimited data plan. I don't know. I mean, like, with the 2 gigs, I'm cool with it just because, like, I'm just avoiding using YouTube, for instance, unless I'm on a Wi-Fi.
Even still, I think you'd have a hard time knocking out 2 gigs on the iPhone, because you're limited to mobile YouTube, even on the iPhone. So it's really low quality video. It's some video. It's just horrendous looking on the mobile version, and that's disappointing. But iPhone doesn't support Flash, so you can't get into regular YouTube.
Yeah.
With it, so.
But I'm generally enjoying it. I mean, like, I got, like, you know, I actually used the GPS a minute after I bought it to help us get to the wedding reception, and that was kind of cool. And I did some tweeting on it, because that's what you do. I got the Facebook app, because that's what you do. I got Skype, because I like the idea of having Skype on a thing I can hold against my head. So.
You're doing this podcast right now from your iPhone. It's amazing.
I was considering it sometime, but
get the giant bomb app.
I didn't know there was one. I'll go grab that after we're done.
With Twitter,
it's not free, but you could watch all the videos from Giant Bomb and all the other stuff on the phone.
That's cool.
So it's pretty hot.
See, I've joined the iPhone family. I got a jealous skin on it. Got an eye shields on it. I'm total Apple boy right now. So if you hate Apple, you know, bring it. Let's go. Let's spar. That's all I got, though. So let's do our final little thing here, which is a listener question from Cobra Commander TFW.
Yeah.
Cobra! He actually, I got to just throw a quick one out. He got me to watch Code Geass, and I don't regret it. But I also did go in with no expectations, and Geass is one of those anime shows where there's too much hype about it. I mean, not to the ludicrous levels of Gurren Lagann and Death Note hype, but it's getting there. But it wasn't bad. I didn't regret it. Clamp do some pretty weird body designs, and you got to get used to that. But, you know, I got to throw him a little shout there for convincing me to check that out. And also, I have been trying to get caught up on Ghost in the Shell. I'm almost 10 episodes in, so that's for GOG.
I'm pretty sure you started watching Code Geass way after you started that. But
I did.
It's okay.
I did,
what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to start up a second two more Twitter accounts. One is going to call myself Proto Man. The other is going to call myself TFW Cobra Commander. And at that point, I'm going to start recommending things to people. And then they'll take my advice, because they don't take my advice as GOG Dog.
When have I listened to Proto Man, though? Like, when he recommends stuff, I've usually already seen it.
I'm trying to remember. He recommended something to you, and you jumped on it, like, in 5 seconds you were watching it. Whatever.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
I don't remember what it was now.
You jumped on it like a well-paid whore.
Oh, was it that Ultraman show? Because I'd already started that.
Yes, that was it. That was it.
I'd already started that based on some internet research.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
But GOG, you must believe me. I'm telling the truth. That's why I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this was going to be about a listener question, wasn't it? So I'll play it now.
Hey guys of the WTF at TFW crew, I was just wondering, what is the most extreme measures you've gone to pursue a Transformer? Have you ever, like, hurt yourself or walked extreme miles or talked to someone who you'd never wanted to talk to before?
So the question from Cobra Commander TFW was, I was wondering, or he's wondering, but I'm wondering too, what some of our most extreme measures we've gone to have been in pursuing a Transformers piece of merchandise or item or experience. So let's start off with Seth.
Well, those BotCon lines could be pretty epic, but not counting those. There was one time I went to the San Francisco Chinatown, because I live near San Francisco, and San Francisco is nowhere near Florida.
Really? You took the words out of my mouth.
And
Google Maps, I just, please.
I was on a quest for knockoffs that day, and I scrolled all up and down and around and went into every funky little shop and nook and cranny. And so that was a lot of time and effort spent looking for knockoffs, which is kind of a weird-ass thing to do. and this was before there were cool knockoffs. This was years ago where, like, the Devastator knockoff is basically what I was looking for, with its weird kind of soapy, soft plastic and no chrome and weird, almost Decepticon stickers. That wasn't a bright idea, but
dark time.
I had fun cruising Chinatown. San Francisco, there's, and I'm sure this is kind of the case with other Chinatowns around the world, there's very clearly two Chinatowns. There's the real Chinatown that the people that live there live in, and they look at you funny because they know you're not supposed to be hanging around, and they know you're supposed to be at the Chinatown that's a couple blocks away because that's the one for the tourists. And there's the tourist Chinatown where they sell things that you're surprised that they sell because they seem a little racist, like little coolie hats with a big long braid attached to them. That seems kind of weird that they would sell that, but whatever.
Awesome.
And then when Armada was first coming out, I went on an epic journey around the Bay Area. I went to like 3 Toys R Us's, a couple KBs, a couple Kmarts, a couple Targets, looking for Armada.
Oh, yeah.
Like when it was first starting to appear. And I spent hours and hours that day and went all over, I went down South Bay, East Bay, North Bay. I did the whole ring and finally found them in a KB somewhere in South City. But that was another, and looking back on it, another time where it was like, wow, that was a lot of time and effort for something that really, for Armada Hotshot, that was a waste of time. So I guess that.
Right.
I never hurt myself physically. I never got into a fist fight or nothing. So
one day, man, one day. It'll come. Drew, have you got an answer for this question?
Well, I read it earlier and I was thinking about it all day, and was it waking up at 10 a.m. that Saturday morning to get Alternator's Nemesis Prime when I was but a man in college?
Oh God, I remember that.
That's what I was thinking maybe. But I've driven all, you know.
Hasbro toy shop when you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes. And then you call in and then the website is not able to be accessed for hours. So you call in and they're like taking orders on paper.
Does that one count if you never actually got it? Cause I don't think I can count that one since I spent hours on it and actually didn't get anything. I'm not sure.
Well, you still made the effort. I think it would be valid, but I remember that, trying to access the website for several hours, and I eventually just called in, and they're like, what's your name? What's your credit card number? All right, we'll see what we can do. Our systems are down. And then, like, 2 weeks later, I got one in the mail.
You were going somewhere else with that?
I don't know if you recall, a few years ago, I don't know, summer of 2005, I had driven up to Syracuse, and was visiting people up there, and I stopped by a Target on my way home after being done up there. The 2-hour ride from Syracuse to my house and I stopped in a Target, and they were having like a clearance sale on Universe, Energon, like all the late Energon toys and all like the late Universe toys too, like the repainted Night / Cheetor and stuff. And I'm sick, so this is why it sounds like I can't breathe out my nose. So anyway, I go in and I saw this sale and I was like, oh my god, this is like, there's so much stuff, and it was like dirt cheap. Like, you know, ultra class size characters for like under $10, all this stuff. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I stopped at every Target I knew on the way home for 2 hours. I ended up with 12 different figures, and I only spent like $40, $45, $50, I think, tops. It was insane, and it was actually a lot of fun. That was a good time. That was a real good time.
Ah, cool.
I killed a man, too.
Yeah. Dude had his hands on my purple silver bolt, so I slew him.
With the purple silver bolt.
Gog, what's your answer to this question? What's your extreme measure experience?
Probably something similar to what Seth said about just hitting up all different places. I mean, it would be, like, the latest example I can think of, I think, were when some of the earliest, earlier, and even the original classics, I know I did this, and I did it before then, but just this is what all I can remember. But when some of the earlier waves of the Universe 2.0 figures started coming out, like, I'd wake up on my day off on a Sunday, and I'd be like, oh, let me go hit the Walmart and see what they got. And I'd hit it, and they had nothing. But like, well, there's a Walmart, like, another Walmart 15 minutes down the street. Let me hit that. I'll go across the street to the Target. Let me hit that. Well, there's another Walmart about half an hour down the interstate. Might as well. It's my day off. Hit that. And I think by the end, all was said and done, I think I had driven about 2 hours away, like, into all various cities. I'm like, well, I'll go over here and I'll hit up the Japanese hobby shop, you know, in Orlando, which is an hour drive away, and then hit every Toys R Us in Orlando and every Walmart and Kmart and all in all, and hitting about, I don't know, probably 20 stores in one day to come home empty-handed. So after paying tolls and gas money and everything else, so. There has been a couple of times where I've wasted an entire day off, and in fact spent more money than I probably would have on the toy itself if I had found it close, and with nothing to show for it. So I think I've learned my lesson after doing that a few times. But it's just so tempting. It's like, well, you know, if I just maybe the one down the street has it. You know, there's been sightings close to me, and it never pans out whenever I do that.
Well, I'm on an island, so I don't have any cool driving stories, because it's like, there's the Toys R Us here, and then there's the
swimming.
One that's...
Swimming stories.
I swam over to the mainland. Well, I mean, like, it's a ferry over the mainland, so that's not really that extreme. It's just kind of like, I'm spending $10 to go to a place to shop for things. But, like, well, Drew had a great one with Nemesis Prime. I didn't even remember that. He actually just linked us to a DeviantArt journal entry from that hallowed day, Thursday, July 20, 2006.
I guess the Saturday before.
Oh, it was Saturday before? All right. But yeah, his survival story. But I think that the only one I can think of that, like, I mean, BotCon lineups, you know, those are multi-hour affairs, but a lot of people go through those. I mean, it's extreme, but it's not extreme for the context of what you're doing,
extreme.
Really.
Extreme!
So I think one of the most, like, extreme, I'm, like, crossing my arms in front of me while I say this, extreme.
It's on a snowboard.
I'm wearing a backwards baseball cap.
100 babies.
300 deer.
It's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex on an aircraft carrier that's on fire.
Underneath Dino a monster bats. Truck. But, yeah, one of the weirdest things I've done was recently, when I was trying to do lots of exercise, shortly after the pre-diabetes announcement, I thought, hey, I've walked to Mayfair Mall a couple times. It's one of the big malls. It's where the Toys R Us is. But there's another mall called Hillside Mall, which has a Zellers that sometimes has little golden nuggets of cool stuff in it. So I was like, maybe I should try walking to Hillside Mall. And I start walking to Hillside Mall, going by my memories of where it is, and I end up at Mayfair Mall. And I'm like, okay, wait a second. So I look around Mayfair Mall, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll walk to the Walmart, because that's like 10 minutes from here. So I go to the Walmart, there's nothing. And I'm like, all right, I gotta find where Hillside Mall is, because this is bothering me. So, by the time I finally found Hillside Mall, I'd been walking for about 4 hours, and it should have been a 40-minute walk. And I found Hillside Mall, and I get in, and there's Human Alliance Bumblebee, there's Revenge of the Fallen Superion, Human Alliance Bumblebee is $50. Revenge of the Fallen Superion is $40. I have $30 on me. I don't feel like paying more than $30 for something. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go buy me some instant tuna steaks, and I'm going to walk home. So I did basically 5 hours of walking, and all I bought were 2 instant tuna steaks. So that's the most I've put myself through with the goal of finding new toys, because I not only did a lot of physical work, but I didn't actually find anything and buy it. So that would be my extreme measures. I've never really had arguments with people over stuff. I guess if a clerk has sucked, I've had to deal with them when I had to pay for my toys. That's about it. But I think walked extreme miles, I guess that would be it. And I did kind of hurt myself because after that walk, my ankles were popping for an entire day and I couldn't actually walk around very much because I did not really think that through before I did it. But I do like trying to get in a walk if I'm going to go toy hunting, because then I can at least go like, well, you know, I'm getting exercise too. So I feel less like I'm going out to be a consumer. But yeah, hope that those answers satisfied you, Mr. Millman. And I hope that you all enjoyed the podcast, because we've hit the end. So, Gog, Seth, Drew, have you got any final words you'd like to say before we cease to exist?
Woo, episode 69, not really a sex joke. That's good for us.
69!
Oh, yeah, 69!
69!
Yeah.
69!
69! RC, you know, 69!
You should bleep out that second name so 69. That people never know who you just 69. Said, and it's a big mystery.
Oh, that's right. Who would RC be 69ing with? By the way, if you're under 18, 69. Don't go and look up 69 because you're too young.
69.
But actually, 69. I didn't know 69. What 69 meant until a couple weeks ago. 69. Like, seriously. I had to 69. Go and look it up in Urban Dictionary.
69.
That was embarrassing.
69.
But 69. As we're played out by the as we're
69.
Thank you. As we're played 69. Out, I just like to 69. Thank you all for staying tuned for all 69 of these episodes, and maybe we'll have 69 more so we can get 69. A kind of double 69 going on.
69.
A 138.
69.
So 69. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, 69. Until the next double 69. This is Evangelist Drew, Gog, and Seth, and double 69.
What is that? 138.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 138.
Ah, I see what I did there.
It means we got a 38 going on and someone lying down next to them. The one.
He killed it.
I know.
Killed it. Good job.
Mount
okay,
up.
Having it.
We are Oscar Mike.
Oscar Mike.
Oscar Mike.
Mount up.
Oscar Mike.
16
Add all that up. I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.